Blog Talk Radio.
The following broadcast is brought to you by the iGolf Sports Network. The Women of Golf Show is sponsored by the iGolf Sports Network and Golf Tips Magazine. Here's more about our sponsors. iGolf Sports is a live stream broadcast and media production company providing quality programming designed to attract the golfing enthusiast. And Golf Tips, the game's most in-depth instruction magazine, including reviews on the latest equipment, tips from top teaching professionals, all designed to help you improve from tee to green. Good morning. Welcome to the Women of Golf, the number one women's golf show around the world, with hosts Ted Odorico and Cindy Miller. Join them as they interview some of the best players from the Symetra, LPGA, and Legends Tour, and so many others, helping to elevate women's golf. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Ted and Cindy.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Women of Golf Show. I'm Ted Odorico, and right here beside me, of course, is LPGA professional and Legends Tour player Cindy Miller, and we, of course, are your hosts. Good morning, Cindy. How are you?
Good morning, Ted. What's up?
I'm excited today. We get to talk here just momentarily with another winner from Symetra Tour. In fact, this is her first win. Sophie Hausman is the champion at the IOA Championship that took place out in California, and she's with us this morning, so I'm happy about that. And then a little bit later on in the show, we're going to be joined by LPGA golf professional Dr. Greta Anderson is going to be joining us on the show as well. So it's good. It's Tuesday. You and I get to chat, of course, with some great women in the golf profession, so it doesn't get any better than that. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. The sun's out. It's going to be 70 degrees in Buffalo today and then 30 tomorrow. So it's a little bipolar here, and I can't wait to be outside helping people get better all day till 9 o'clock tonight.
Right. Well, that's always a good thing. So enjoy that 70-degree weather because, yeah, it's going to dip pretty quick come tomorrow. All right, let me introduce our guest, and then we'll bring her on. As I mentioned, she is the winner of the IOA Championship this past week, Sophie Hausman. She's a native of Germany. Back in 2016, she won the German International Ladies Amateur Championship. In 2018, she qualified for the U.S. Women's Open as an amateur, and she's a two-time Big Sky Conference Player of the Year for the University of Idaho. She also represented Germany at the 2016 and 2018 World Amateur Team Championship, and she competed in the inaugural Augusta National Women's Amateur in April of 2019. She's made six cuts in her 10 Symetra Tour starts in 2020 with four top 20 finishes, including a season best at the Founders Tribute. But this year, Cindy, she came out with a bang and won her first event, the IOA Championship. So we're going to talk to her about that and more. So, Cindy, let's welcome our very special guest to start things off, Sophie Hausman.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, guys.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, it is
that
exciting.
That's fantastic. You know, your first win is always the most exciting. You know, I think, wouldn't you agree, Cindy, when you're in that position and that first win is just, it's you're kind of almost, I think, shell-shocked a little bit. You know, you're working so hard to get there, and then finally,
well, again, your mission is to practice, so that's why you're out there, is to win. So I don't know that shell-shocked is the word, but satisfied, I would say, is the word. Like when you win on the mini tour, oh, okay, so all this work I'm putting into it, it verifies that what I'm trying to do is the right thing. What do you think, Sophie?
Yeah, kind of that. And you're like, okay, you're working on things that actually work and you can do it. It's not like, okay, am I really that good or something? And you're like, yeah, I can be out here. That feels good. So,
yeah, I think it's verification. And if you, how do I want to say it? Ted and I sit at a different view. I mean, it was, I don't want to tell you how many years ago I was doing what you were doing to try to qualify. on the tour and won a mini tour event and then qualified for the tour. So it, I know how you feel because I felt the same way, but I must tell you that if we were going to be a little fairy golf mother, which I've been accused of being, and sit back and say, let's look at this little girl here, and what is Sophie doing, and what is she working on, and where has she been, and what has she played in? You just need to know you're doing all the right things. And if there was like a betting thing and you were in a lineup, I would be picking you. So just know that keep doing what you're doing, even, you know, because we've got the highs and the lows and the pits and the, I love golf, I hate golf, right? So
Yeah.
So what are you working on that's working?
Actually, like lately in my game, I was like, since like ball striking was always one of my strengths, but then I feel like wedges are the ones that need to get the most improvement on, because I put myself into great positions, but then usually don't do as well. So I'm like, okay, Sophie. And then now since I moved to Champions Gate, they have a par 3 golf course there. So I'm actually out there all day. And I told my coach back in Germany, they have a par 3 course between 40 and 100 yards. She was like, great.
Oh,
so this
money.
Is one of the things that, yeah, and then also sometimes off the tee when I'm kind of, okay, is it really, because I tend to just go hit the driver, you know, it's fun. It's one of my favorite clubs. And then I'm like, okay, maybe you should reconsider that and just hit less off the tee, you know, some, which is probably goes along with course management as well. And especially since I don't have a caddy at every tournament, it's probably important to kind of, you know, sometimes play the, I wouldn't say smarter way, but at least maybe where the odds are a little higher. Yeah, those are the main things. And, I mean, putting is always a thing. I wouldn't say it's yeah, I feel like you can always work on putting. That's really a break to that.
So what you're saying is you got a little smarter and you're playing a little wiser with not hitting driver off the tee?
I'm still the person that likes an aggressive play, and you know, like if I like the driver and if it's my strength, great, play with it. But just sometimes in the practice round, or sometimes think about what would be another option to put yourself in a good position and still be able to make birdie, you know, because sometimes I'm like, okay, just hit the driver, and but it's the most narrow spot, and instead of just hitting a 3-wood where you can still have 120 in, and you know, if I work on my wedges, I can still, you know, get myself up there. But so it's a mix of smarter and like, yeah, but also seeing more options, I would say.
Awesome. Ted?
So, Sophie, let me ask you, I was reading through some of the notes here, and, you know, it talked about how you're not somebody that really watches the leaderboard. You kind of just stick to your game. You don't really pay attention to where everybody is, which is a good thing. Because I think sometimes, you know, if you're sort of conscious, that doesn't mean you shouldn't kind of get a general idea, but if you're focusing on the leaderboard all the time and who's there, it kind of distracts from your game. And I also noticed something, too. It was a little bit windy there, I guess, in the final round. So you kind of shifted your mindset and said, you know what, I'm going to be okay. As you put it, par was my friend, and if I make a birdie, that was great. When conditions change like that, do you find that you're able to adapt very easily? Because some people don't. If it suddenly starts to get, you know, the wind gusts up and things like that, you know, the wheels start falling off the bus. Do you find that your game, you're able to adapt very quickly in changing conditions like that?
I think it's a progress as well, where I'm like just did very well this tournament, and I'm trying to like get better at it, because then sometimes I'm just so like, especially maybe when you go in the last round with one shot lead, you're like, okay, you know, I have to make a birdie because if the girl next to me makes a birdie, you know, all those things. So I really just try to like play this round by itself. And then from like 6 to 13, hole 6 to 13, it was just crazy wind into us. I was like, you know, I mean, if you just play so, I mean, yeah, I could kind of adjust quickly to it because I just noticed, okay, it's not a birdie festival out here right now. So just, you know, try to stick to your plan. And if you play a solid round today, it it hopefully is enough, but you don't know. So we'll see then. But yeah, it's definitely a thing I try to work on, because I try not to like get too ahead of myself or think about what if and what if what do the other girls do, you know. So it's kind of kind of thing I work on, but it also worked out very well this time. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some people like to watch leaderboards. Some people like to kind of gauge where they are, and other people just like, eh, I couldn't care less. I'm going to focus on my game, and whatever happens, happens. I also know, too, as I mentioned in the opening credits, that you were a two-time player of the year at the University of Idaho. What did you learn during your time at the university as a player that you've been able to carry forward? What with, you know, your other teammates and with your coach and that, what specific things do you take away from that experience?
I mean, what I really like was what my coach and also the team kind of showed me is, like, you come like from Germany, you're like, I have a solid swing coach, he's really into technical things, but that the game is just so much more of just having a nice, good looking golf swing.
Right.
So, and then sometimes I get so caught up in it, like, hey, it's not perfectly on plane, and it's a little steep up there, and, you know, all those things. And the coach was like, she's a typical American college golf coach, where it's like, she coaches a team to do their best, but also grow as a person. And I feel like showing different shots or teaching different shots, seeing the mental side, which I was not really aware of at that time, and just seeing all the different parts of, like, how to shoot a number and not just, you know, make it look pretty. So kind of those things sometimes.
Right.
I can really get caught up in those things. And then also, like, especially in a team, because in Germany, I also played for a team, but I was always, like, living, like, an hour away from it. So when I got to college, I could actually practice every day with, like, girls that have a similar, you know, or same mindset or goal. We do the same thing. We do it kind of for each other. So which was really nice to see, okay, what are they doing? What's a different approach? So, like, just seeing the options again, I feel like that kind of opens and kind of learns to, yeah, play the game a little different or in other ways, yeah.
Was Lisa Ferraro your coach?
Actually, Lisa Johnson, and then she left 2019 to go to Nebraska.
Got it.
After the 2019, yeah. And then now Lisa Ferraro's there, yeah.
Got it.
Interesting. So let me just ask you another question then. When you work with your coach, you said obviously you're working on your swing and getting the mechanics and that great, but you're okay if you've got a number in mind that you're trying to shoot, if everything doesn't look, as you said, doesn't look pretty, but as long as you achieve your ultimate goal, you're fine with that. And the reason why I ask you that is, you know, Tiger Woods, as an example, used to say sometimes when he would win an event that he didn't really play his A game. In other words, he wasn't hitting it, you know, perfect the way he would like to hit it, but he still got the desired result. Are you similar in your mindset that, you know, if everything isn't firing on all cylinders, but you still manage to achieve the goal that you set out, you're okay with that? Or do you find yourself, well, you know, even though I got the number I wanted, I'm not really happy with the way I play? Does it make sense?
Kind of a mix, yeah. So I actually, when you talked about Tiger, that actually I heard this like a few years ago, and I'm like, yeah, that's a good like thought for you, because I can't, especially like first 2 or 3 years in college, I got really like, okay, that's the number, but I just didn't hit it perfect. So it kind of sucks. And coach is like, yeah, but you still have a 15-footer for birdie, so if you make it, nobody really cares. So.
Right.
So definitely kind of changing their perspective a little bit, which both coaches do, like kind of started in college with my college coach. And then even now my coach in Germany, she's like, yeah, you will always, you know, send me a swing video where you think it's not perfect, but you have to work on, like, let's say the wedges, that are the thing that you can improve way more than on your 7-iron, you know. And you will always be a solid ball striker if you believe in it. And there will be times where you have to work a little more on technical things, but overall, it's more like have like more shots, like have you can if you can shape it or whatever, you have like a better access to your game as well. And you know, if you get the feel for it, that will help you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Cindy, go ahead.
How many greens did you hit in the last round?
Oh, that's I actually didn't count them, but
you didn't?
I didn't know. I'll say around 13, though, because yeah, like in between holes, like 6 to 13, I remember, because like with the wind, I also got you know a little nervous, and then kind of tried to go for it, and I'm like, Sophie, that's not the way. So I actually had some good up and downs there. So I think about 13, I would say. Yeah. Sorry, I don't. No, I try. Yeah, I mean, I do my stats at the end of the day and also learn from it, but it's not like after whole eight or like even now I'm like, okay, I did this. No, I'm not that into the numbers. Sorry.
That's funny. So let me ask you
that's
this.
All right.
When you, how long is a typical birdie putt that you make? Like, are you really good from 10 feet? Are you really good from 6 feet? How often do you three putt?
Three putt is more like a leg thing, I would say. Like, everything above 40 feet at sometimes, especially that's why, like, even like on par five was, because I can reach it in two, but then I often go off with a three putt. So that was one of the things I also try to work on. But birdie putts are more like a range of, actually since last year it kind of changed a little bit. It's like around 15 feet. I tend to like not make as many 15 footers, but now I kind of, because I kind of put a little different perspective on it, I'll not put myself into like, I have to make it. I move the pressure a little. I'm like, okay, put yourself in a good position. If it drops, great. If not, move on. So that's definitely more like 15 feet, which is still a thing I need to work on the shorter birdie putts, because that's still when I'm like, okay. Like, first hole, I hit it like to like 3 to 4 feet, and I missed the birdie putt. I'm like, you are a little nervous right there. So, but yeah, that's definitely more like 15 feet.
Your driving average is 283. You ought to be slapped. Oh my God, what the hell, girl, give me 30 of yours. And your putting average is 29.57. That's great.
Yeah, that was it was really solid. Yeah, I don't want to complain about it.
I guess
holy
not
cow.
I know,
jeepers creepers.
You know, Sophie, the reason why we're, especially Cindy's kind of shocked at that is, you know, it's just amazing. We've had a number of young ladies like yourself over the years that have, you know, won as you have, and we're just flabbergasted at just the distance that these young girls are achieving and the accuracy that they're getting as well. And it's just kind of mind-boggling because they're getting better and better and better as time goes on, and it's just amazing. So that's why we're kind of in – having a mini stroke here, looking at your stats. let me ask you before we end up running out of time. As I mentioned in the beginning, you were invited to the inaugural Augusta National Women's Amateur back in 2019. Did you know that you were going to get an invitation up front? Did you kind of get a heads up on that? And if not, tell us a little bit about your experience at the event.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as it, like, they released the news in 2018, I was like, okay, that's definitely a chance to, you know, to get there and to play in it. But I was always with the world ranking kind of right at the line, and, you know, you kind of think about it. And then I saw on Instagram early January that everyone opened the invitations, and I'm like, okay, you know, maybe they send it to Germany, or you just didn't make it, and later on, I think somebody dropped out, so I got it a little later, I think end of January, and then they called me that one morning, so and were like, hey, you're in, are you in, do you want to come? I'm like, that's a question, so yeah, so then, of course, I called my family first, and they got super excited, and since we are all kind of kind of golf family, they were also like, okay, so how many tickets do you actually have to get us in? So they all came, which was really fun. So, and I think it was a fun event. It was really cool. I mean, they put so much time and effort in, and it turned out great. I mean, the match that at the end, Jennifer and Maria, I think, showed the world, or like the golfers, to like what we can do, what girls can do, or ladies can do. I think that was just incredible. And but the overall thing, like Champions Retreat, I really liked that golf course. I mean, that was a really fun one. I mean, no doubt,
Did you stay in the cabin?
No, we actually all stayed at a hotel.
Oh, okay. So our son used to play at Augusta State, and he played in the tournament at Champions Gate. It's really a retreat. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay. It was a really good golf course. So I'm excited for the girls who can play it this week. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So tell us a little bit more about your experience there. How did you find playing? I mean, obviously, you know, it's very exciting to be invited. But how do you feel you played, and was it a little bit more than what you expected? Because, you know, we see, the Masters and that every year on TV, but unless you've ever been there or especially played in that area, you don't really appreciate it. So what was your impression when you got there, and how did you play?
Yeah, so definitely it was like on TV you can't really see all the slopes. So just from a course perspective, I was like, okay, this is actually really hilly here, which sometimes hard to see on TV. I was like, okay. And then the greens, you know, I mean, when you're on them, you're like, and we had this local caddy, and he was like, you know, you really have to hit it like on six. It was like the par three was pin was all the way back. I was up front, and he was like, you know what, you just have to hit it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, it's uphill parts, maybe a little slow, but you can, you know. And it came back twice. I'm like, okay, I got it. So the greens are just fascinating, like how, like when you actually have no clue, or never played it, and they look not as bad as they actually are, you know, how difficult they are. So that was definitely an experience. And then also on the last day, like I mean, it was still probably a different crowd than it is at the Masters week, but I mean, there were a lot of people, and with just having scoreboards, no phones, it was actually really cool. And you could kind of tell, like, there's this little, not tension, but like extra feel in it, you know, like fans are like a little different this event. So and I mean, I didn't make the cut that week. I had a bad second round, but I feel like overall it was like just a great experience. You saw the girls you play with so often. My coach, college coach, was there, the family, so it was just a week I think you will never forget. And I think that's what it's also about. As much as you like to play well and win, but you can't always do it. So, yeah.
Well, at least you'll have a whole, not that you, I'm sure, didn't appreciate it before, but you'll have a whole different perspective now, you know, when you see Masters Week, because you've now been there and you've actually played that, you know, that course. So you have a whole different viewpoint now of what it's really like and how difficult and challenging it is for the players, because you've experienced that, you know, as you said, you know, putts rolling back, you know, after a couple of attempts, and you have a greater appreciation for just how difficult Augusta National can be. So very interesting, very cool experience. And like you said, it's something that you'll remember for a long time, your time there. Cindy, go ahead.
So where do you play next?
In Tucson in 2 weeks, another Symetra event. So then we do Tucson, Utah, Kansas City as like a 3 week stretch.
It's almost nice to have these weeks off, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, since it's like we play two events and now have 2 week break and then three events, which is nice. On the other hand, you're like, okay, you know, I could get going right now, but on the other hand,
I get it. I get it. Will you play in any mini tour events in Florida?
I actually did before, yeah, to get kind of ready to get into scoring again, because I feel like that just helps me sometimes, especially after a long season or like an off season.
I agree.
Oh, I played 2 events here and then 1 cactus event in Arizona before we played longbow. And then I was like, okay, you kind of have an idea now, and no, let's do it.
Yeah, it's just good to get your feet wet.
I'm coming down Sunday or Monday. I'm doing a boot camp with a bunch of kids over at Orange County. So we'll be thinking about your practice. And
yeah.
I love that over there because we can also do that short course.
Yeah, it's good. And there are not many people out there. So usually you have it all for yourself all day, and you can also can kind of, you know, go a little in between and do some different things. So, yeah, you should. It's a good one.
Absolutely. Todd?
Well, Sophie's going to be partying for the next couple of weeks off her win. She didn't get a chance to yet. She was telling me. So she's already bought the beer, and she's getting ready to throw down here in the next couple of weeks. So who knows, Cindy, maybe you'll get an invite when you go down next week. But
if you need a designated driver, I'll help you.
Yeah. Well, so Sophie, we want to thank you very much for joining us this morning, and congratulations again on your first professional win at the Iowa Championship. And we know you're very, as your family is, very proud of your accomplishments. And I think you've got a great future. You've certainly got a great attitude, I think you're gonna go on to continue to be a champion again and again and again. And if you win again this season on Symetra, you'll be coming back with us, so we look forward to that. We hope you
Perfect.
Do, and we look forward to having you back on. All right?
Well, perfect. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Good luck, honey.
Thank you.
You're very
Thanks
welcome.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Sophie Hausman, winner of the Iowa Championship on the Symetra Tour. Fun young lady. You know what I mean, Cindy? She's just got a great attitude. Obviously is conscious of her game, but seems to be a little bit lighthearted too, which is nice, kind of refreshing. She's not, serious when she needs to be, but at the same time can sit back and kind of have fun and roll with the punches. And I think that's a good combination. What do you think?
I agree. And I want to hit a 283.36.
I'd be satisfied with just a 280. Yeah. Never mind. I know. Good Lord. I know. It's just, and 29 and a half putts, I think it was. Here's the thing that was interesting that caught me. You know, you had asked her about how many greens she hit in the final round, and obviously caught her off guard. She wasn't expecting that. But, what do you think about that? She said she's not really a big stats person. Now, obviously, I'm sure she monitors her stats to a certain degree to help with her practice and whatnot. But I guess that can kind of be, depending on the person, it can kind of be a hit and miss. For some, you know, knowing those stats is probably very important. And others, you know, maybe like her, she doesn't get caught up in the stats. What do you think about that?
I think you got to do what works for you.
Yeah.
And I don't think the world can, what's the word? You know, it's like, whoa, what are you doing? Why are you not there? You know, it's like, stop. Just be quiet. I got to do what I got to do for me. And so I think it's very important that you are aware of that, because the committee can really drive you nuts. And
oh,
I don't
yeah.
think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
I think it's important on, I agree with that, on a certain level to understand where you're at. But at the same time, I think some players maybe get too caught up in the stats. And, you know, it can work. It can be a plus, but I think it can also work to your detriment as well. I think if you get too caught up in the stats and, you know, suddenly you're not hitting those same numbers every time, that can kind of play with your mind. And then, of course, like you said, the committee of they, like to chime in and, you know, share their thoughts. And sometimes that can work.
Well, and then they
give
you self-doubt and, you know, it's like, we don't need all this. We got to, I got to make sure I'm doing what I need to do for me. you know?
Yeah, it sounds like she's got a pretty good solid foundation that she works with. She's got good people around her, good coaches. When I asked her about, sort of compared her a little bit to Tiger Woods and his thought process, I liked her answer because, you know, she's not getting caught up in having to have the perfect golf swing. It's more about reaching and achieving the goals that she sets out. And if it happens to look pretty, great. If it doesn't, as long as she's achieving the goals she set, she's okay with that. And I think that's important. I think sometimes some players try to focus too much on how they look and hitting everything just perfect, but then they forget about actually how to play the game. And it sounds like she's found the balance that works best for her. So, all right, we're going to take a quick little break here, and then we will welcome our next guest, Dr. Greta Anderson, when she comes on board. So let me just play this quick message regarding golf tips.
The following ad is sponsored by Golf Tips Magazine.
Are you tired of being short off the tee? And what about those 3 putts? Forget about it. It's time you got serious about your game. Golf Tips, the most in-depth magazine in the industry. For over 30 years, Golf Tips has delivered expert content such as the latest golf instruction from America's top pros, simple to follow practice and game improvement drills, fitness and mental game tips, equipment, training aids, accessory and apparel reviews, golf destinations and travel tips for every budget, and so much more. Don't miss a single issue. Go to golftipsmag.com and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. As I said, we're going to be joined here momentarily by our next guest, Dr. Greta Anderson. And as an LPGA golf instructor, she teaches using methods grounded in measurability, strategy, and evidence. Most of all, she likes to help you learn to love the game of golf, which we all do. And when she works together with her students, she intends to challenge you and says emphatically that that's guaranteed. She also likes to help you maximize your skills, identify and address individual problems, and build the confidence needed to play your very best. So Cindy, you know, I think when you work with your students, I know you've mentioned many times that you like to help them to understand it. And again, it's not about building the perfect swing. It's really about what for you? Did you get that?
No, I'm sorry. It's about hitting the ball. I was on mute. It's about hitting the ball where you want it to go and not the perfect swing. You got to be able to score.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, it's interesting, though, you know, when you look at some of the players on tour, and it doesn't matter which tour, but, you know, there's some that seem to, you know, grind to find that perfect swing, but yet don't seem to get, you know, necessarily the desired results. And then there's others that, you know, they certainly work on every part of their game, but it's more about, you know, strategy and about playing and scoring. And, you know, you've worked with young ladies, particularly who aspire to maybe play collegiate golf and that. What do you do? What do you say? Or what's the conversation you have when you see that they're so focused on making it look perfect, but they're not really focusing on learning to play the game itself or to score better? What do you say to them? What's the conversation you have if you see that they're sort of hyper-focusing on making it just look perfect?
I don't really have anybody right now who's trying to be perfect. I feel as though our biggest issue with kids or people that are playing are focused on trying to score too much and not hit the shot they need to. They try too hard to make something happen, and that makes it really difficult to score. So they're trying to shoot a number, and you can't try to shoot a number. I mean, if we could do that, we'd all shoot 62, right?
Right.
So it's having the mindset. You know, we've got one young girl who's trying to play college golf and qualify for an event, you know, who's shooting 38
40, 38, you know, and nine holes here, nine holes there. And then she goes to qualify and shoots 89. I'm like, okay, so what's different? Every round counts. If you put more value on one round than another, then you're, okay, now I got to really play. And it's qualifying. And it's like, stop. You're trying way too hard. What are you doing? So that's the biggest issue that we face. And parents, you know, trying to put too much pressure on them to perform rather than let's just have fun. Go hit the ball from here to there. You know, take a hybrid if you have to. Chip it down the fairway.
Right.
Do whatever you got to do. You don't need – that's one thing I like about Sophie is, you know, she's finally – I don't want to say finally, but she's getting smarter with I don't need to hit driver. It's too narrow down here. I can hit, you know, if you hit 9-iron or pitching wedge from 125, 130, you know, poor you, right?
Yep. Yeah, right.
Yeah, again, you know, distance is not a big deal. Again, if I could play, I saw something in Golf Digest this morning. I got an email, or I think it was them. I don't know who it was, but it said, five reasons you should play from the front tees. I'm like, yeah, I'll play from the front tees all day long and shoot under par. You know, it's when you move me back to 6,300 yards that I'm like, okay, this is no fun. And that's part of the reason a lot of people don't like to play. You're just playing it from too far away for what your skill level is. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I see our guest is here, so let's bring her out. I've already introduced her. Let's bring out our very special guest, Dr. Greta Anderson.
Good morning.
Well, how are you? Good morning.
Great.
We're doing very well.
We have someone smarter than us on right now, Ted.
That wouldn't be too. I can't speak for you, Cindy, but I guarantee she's smarter than I am. So.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and we're glad to. You know, that you could make it with us, and we're excited to learn a little bit more about what you do. So as I mentioned, you know, you're an LPGA golf professional, and you love to work and help everybody love this game as we do. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. What drew you to golf?
Well, I love all sports. I mean, I'm just a good old-fashioned jock. But I really put a golf club was put in my hands as a girl. My dad's a golfer, and didn't play nearly as much golf as he plays now because, you know, now he's retired, and as I lovingly call him, a professional golfer. But that was just kind of one of the ways that I got to enjoy time with him. He, you know, a busy family man and career, so he didn't have a whole lot of time, but I knew that he enjoyed his golf, and I would kind of go and hang out with him, you know, a proud, you know, daddy's girl. And but I was an avid tennis player, and – I loved both of them, but at the time, there were not a diversity of programs and programming. It was fun, but golf had nothing in comparison to what tennis offered me in terms of competition, one, because I was already – I've been playing since I was a very small girl, but also that's where my community was. And, you know, it's got to be fun for kids. And, you know, I'm like, well, this is fun. You get to hit the ball, and the ball goes high, and the ball goes fast, and it goes far. But it does the same thing over here, and I've got friends. And so golf was kind of just something I did for fun with family until I got into my 20s. When I was in graduate school, I really began to play more, still playing with my dad, but, you know, my graduate school buddies and that type of thing. And then once I moved into my career, it was quite the business tool. And that's really where I really got kind of entrenched in golf.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, as you develop through your career and so forth, and somebody that's been, you know, brought into golf as you have, and you start to develop a sense of an understanding. It's not just a game. There's so much more to it. And I like it. Something I took from your website, and you said golf is a metaphor for life. Explain why you think that.
I think that golf is a metaphor for life for so many reasons. Let's just take a hole. You know, we've all played golf. Pick a hole, any hole. The first shot can set us up for many great things. We need to pay great attention, assess the situation, prepare accordingly. we strike it. Maybe it's the best drive of our lives, or maybe we go out of bounds. The same thing can happen in life. You may not have had the best start. Sometimes it doesn't have as much to do with what you've done as it is, you know, other, you know, situations that may you've been born into. Who knows? But that's where you are. And now that's what you have to deal with it. You can choose to let that tee shot or that childhood or that, you know, less than ideal situation of your past define you, or you can say, okay, this is the situation and let's make the best of it. Let me take my medicine, as we, you know, a lot of times we'll say, right, and get on out here in this fairway and keep it moving forward. Or I can decide that I'm going to try to hit it between these trees and over the, you know, over the creek and do some high-risk things that might get me into some more bad situations. You know, it's a risk-reward proposition, and that's really how life works.
Right. I think she just proved, Cindy, she's smarter than I am, because I couldn't have put it as well as that. So a very good answer. I love that. Cindy, go ahead.
You mentioned that you measure things. Tell us what you mean by that.
Sure. I believe strongly that what gets measured gets improved. And so it's great to say, you know, things are moving forward, but most people, even when they come to the lesson tee and say, well, Dr. Greta, I just want to be able to get the ball in the air. Well, that lasts for about 10 minutes once the ball's in the air. And so I find that allowing people, particularly ladies that are newer to the game, to embrace the fact that it's okay to want to get good and to get better means we have to start measuring things, because good and better are subjective terms. Oh, that looks better than that shot. Well, is it really? Based on the situation, based on what we need, based on what club we're using, is it? So understanding quantifiably how we are moving, changing, and growing makes a world of difference in helping people see how they're progressing and where we need to fill in the gaps.
So tell me how you would do that. Let's say, you know, someone comes in and says, I want to get better. Do you, like I asked Sophie, you know, how many fairways and greens and blah, 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 what were your stats on the last round? And she couldn't tell me.
Yes.
How would you use that in a woman that's beginning to play who thinks they have to hit it perfect all the time? And how do you measure whether or not they're really getting better?
Okay. So let's just say she's, you know, getting up, playing on the course, but, you know, not really, you know, but sometimes, let's just say high scores, you know, high handicapper, developing golfer. Many times their definition of, let's just say, a good shot is there's no range around it. It's just, did the ball go up or down? Did it go forward far? And so we have to put operational definitions around everything, because again, a drive for you or me might, and the definition of good, I mean, I'm doing air quotes here, is totally different than it is for that person. So it is operationally defining what is good for that person at that moment in time, and what we want good to look like 6 weeks from now, 6 months from now, so on and so forth.
I got it. Do you help them understand that she who misses it best without getting ticked off wins?
Absolutely. Otherwise, she will go crazy.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good.
You know, that's part of the journey. You know, I really do try to encourage and support women and all of my clients in understanding that golf is a journey, again, that metaphor for life. And it's going to have its ups and downs. Like, I use myself as an example. I had a pretty severe hand and wrist injury. So I switched sides. I had to learn to play all over again. And I'm not nearly as long as I was even though my natural dexterity is left-handed, as a lefty golfer, I'm not nearly as long as I was. And part of that is probably age, too. I mean, it's been some time now. But you know, what I did gain was more patience and frankly, more accuracy, you know, as time has gone on and I've had a chance, of course, to hone my skills and that type of thing. But I say that to help them understand, like, where you begin is not your ending. And don't compare your beginning to someone else's middle. you're on the range, you know, next to, you know, Sophie, a great player, mm-hmm. and you just picked up clubs 3 weeks ago.
Right.
That's not a realistic comparison. And
yeah,
so those are the things that I find are the cautionary tale for many people in getting discouraged.
Got it. Ted?
Yeah, that's a great point that you make, because a lot of times, and I'm sure, Greta, you've had this on the lesson tee where, you know, they want to look like somebody they've seen on TV. There's a favorite player. They want to swing like that. But it may not be the swing for them. And they compare
right.
themselves to professionals who play, you know, every day and practice every day, which brings me
yeah.
to another point. You talk about on your website, you say, have a deliberate plan and structured
mm-hmm.
golf practice.
Correct.
Talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about that, because that's something that, especially new golfers, they don't have that yet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have necessarily a deliberate plan, and they don't know how to structure their practice to get the best results. Talk us through that a little bit.
Sure. You're absolutely right, because for many golfers, a deliberate plan is coming to the range, picking the biggest bucket available, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, slapping 120 or 140 balls. That is not good practice. Deliberate practice involves focusing upon whatever, you know, in particular we focused on during our last session together, because I'm just like a good teacher, I provide homework. And usually I boil that down to three essential elements that I want someone to practice on. So if we're taking, you know, this kind of same, you know, avatar of new developing female golfer that we've kind of been speaking about this morning, I would take her and I would probably say, okay, here's the situation. When you go and practice, I would rather you go and come, let's just say we're working on, you know, full swing, come and get a bucket of 40 balls, because I want you to be intentional and go through those three mm-hmm. key elements that we've been focused on with every single ball. Now, that's going to take some time. So that's not just hitting a ball, racking a ball, hitting it good, bad, or whatever,
yeah.
and pulling another one. I want you to spend the time on your setup. I want you to make sure that your grip is in good order. I want you to feel your transitions. I want you to understand those things. That is practice, because that is how you move the needle. You're not going to move the needle just, oh, that ball didn't go straight. It went a little bit left. Well, okay, that's not a problem. Why did it go left? Do you understand?
Right.
You may not understand exactly why it went left, but you can understand, oh, I had my left hand was a little bit more underneath the club, like Dr. Greta was explaining to me. I don't want it there. Let me reset my grip. That's how we learn. So less is more. It's quality over
mm-hmm.
quantity.
Yep, well said. You do a lot of programs, obviously, for women
yes.
and girls. What are some
mm-hmm.
of the biggest, and again, we're going to stick with new students right now, but
sure.
when
sure.
you get a new student, regardless of age, what are some of the biggest apprehensions? What is it that they fear the most about this game, do you think?
That they don't fit in, and that they don't look like they fit in. They don't look like a golfer. They may have no athletic background. But, you know, again, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times at the club or the practice facility, they're, you know, seasoned golfers working on their, you know, swings and, you know, their skill set, the balls, you know, whizzing off the club face, and, you know, they're swinging and missing. They just feel insecurity. And people have been told over and over and over that golf is so difficult. That golf's really hard.
Right.
Whew. That's going to take a long time. Well, I heard it takes 20 years to become a good golfer. That is not true. So you have to debunk a lot of myths off the rip. You know,
right.
like, no, it doesn't. I learned twice.
Right.
Because I did. I had to learn to play two times. You know, you
right.
have to let them know that. And it's okay. And it's okay. There are people here who, very few people out here have the perfect swing. There's no such thing as the perfect swing. You know, I explained to them, mm-hmm. I said, if you ever watch golf on TV and you see the guys and girls, who they're really good. I said, they're on TV, they're really good. And you see all those people standing behind them. I said, well, those are their coaches. Now, if they need a coach, you have no shame. We all need a coach. That's the story of life, the metaphor. So I have metaphor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. You know, people don't realize that everybody, even the best, the most elite player, has somebody that helps them with their game, or their mission in life.
That's right.
And
That's right.
You know, so it's kind of humorous in a way when you think that the average amateur thinks, well, I don't need help. You know, I'm not going to get this, and I don't need somebody standing there telling me how to do this. Well, if the best players in the
right.
world have somebody, you know, speaking in their ear, why would you think that you wouldn't need somebody? And so they're very,
right.
very apprehensive.
Yes.
What are some of the things that you like to do with your students that has really given you the best results? Obviously, you're teaching them the fundamentals, and you're teaching them how to, you know, understand mm-hmm. the game, how to play the game, not just hit the ball, you know, mm-hmm. well in that. But what are some things mm-hmm. specifically that you like to do to really move that needle forward? Is there anything specific in your programs that you like to do?
Yes. I'm very intentional about building community. I know that, as though you know a little bit about me and my background, I have been studying doing a lot of work around a model of persistence and retention theory since the 90s, my doctoral dissertation. And I won't bore you with all of it, but the theory holds in this way. You can teach someone a skill set, whether that is, you know, statistics, anthropology, accounting in college, or, you know, or golf, right? It's that skill set. And they can become very well integrated with it. But if they don't have a sense of community, they won't stick with it. So from the collegiate standpoint, this may make sense in this way. I can be a straight-A student at, you know, pick the university, but I hate it there. The campus life is not for me. And though I'm a great student, I'm not having a good experience, I leave and I transfer. I did not have social integration. And that holds true mm-hmm. with most women in golf.
Mm-hmm.
That is why I do so much programming, group programming in the beginning, because socialization matters. They're not going to stick with the game. Golf is resource intensive. It's, you know, no matter your station in life, golf takes time and money. If I'm mm-hmm. not having fun, I will not spend time and money here. So I'm
yep.
very intentional about introducing new golfers to the community, letting them know you're not the only new golfer here. Hey, sometimes you guys want to come out and practice. Here's a practice crew. The ladies
yep.
are just there. I may be teaching, but that time is devoted on in our facility. Just, you know, it doesn't have to be the huge facility. It's just, you know, four or five stations on the range, just within earshot while I'm doing some other things that they feel comfortable, they're practicing. I can drop in, hey, you know, quickly correct a few things, give them encouragement. They're building relationships. Those people become mm-hmm. nine holers. Those people become 18 holers. Those people then become the people that travel with me to Europe and Asia on golf trips.
That's fantastic. I love that analogy. Cindy, go ahead.
Where are you and how do people find you, Greta, Dr. Greta?
Thank you. I am in Atlanta, Georgia. I teach at Steel Canyon Golf Club, which is in Sandy Springs, Georgia, which is just north of the city. So, you know, Atlanta's one big blob of a metroplex here. So, and you can find me anywhere on the internet at Dr. Greta Golf.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Now you mentioned about travel. Obviously, you know, with the pandemic, that's been
yeah.
a little bit squelched here for the last little while.
Yeah.
So I know that you
yeah.
Have had to probably put that on hold on that. But
yes,
you obviously typically, we'll put that aside for a moment. Obviously, you mm-hmm. in future, as we begin to open things up, you're going to get back into that a little bit more. What types of trips
yeah.
do you like to do? And is this kind of a golf trip? Is this a little golf and little other things happening as well? Give us an idea of what that experience would be with on a trip.
Sure. We know that our community of golfers and their friends and their communities love to travel. They want to travel in a fun, unique, you know, way. They want to take a golf trip, but they don't want to play 36 holes a day. That's not their version
right.
of a golf trip. And so I've always said
right.
a golf trip is whatever you decided to be if you're a golfer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we
right.
know that it's important to mix gastronomy and sightseeing and new cultural experiences with golf because, of course, that's the great thing about our sport. There are cool courses pretty much everywhere. So we mix them
mm-hmm.
all in to allow people to play as much or as little they want while seeing, you know, cool places, and it's just a blast. So our last trip, as you said, right before the pandemic, we were in Tunisia and Morocco.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable. Yeah. You want to talk about working on the sand game? Yeah.
I love it.
Great.
That's
time.
Fantastic. Well, I hope things open up quickly and you get back to doing that, because it sounds like a lot of fun in that. But, yeah, you know, you're so right. You know, it's really an overall package. Golf offers so many things, so many learning experiences that people don't realize. And, you know, something that you said a little while ago, you know, talking about where people are under this misnomer because of the language that we've spoken in golf for so many, well, it's hard, it's difficult, and it's just, you know, mm-hmm. an insurmountable mountain to get over. And it's really, as you pointed out yourself with your own experience, I mean, you've learned to play this game twice. So mm-hmm. it's not impossible. I think it really depends on what you're willing to bring, meaning the student is willing to bring to the table. You know, are you coming to learn?
Correct.
Are you coming to, you know, right? If they're just showing up and saying, okay, well, you know, give me a golf swing, you know, that's not going to happen. They have to play a part too, right?
They have to play a part and, you know, play a part and then be willing to understand that this is the process. You know, I mean, I have students that run the gamut. I love when a student is self-aware. I have one of my great clients. He is a great golfer. Shoots, you know, he's a scratch golfer. He could be well under card. And he says, here's the deal, Dr. Greta. You know, I have too many other things in life that I want to spend time on. I love my golf, mm-hmm. but like to get, because I always go like, come on, guy, we can get these scores down. And he goes, but that means you're going to give me homework. That means I got to practice. And I don't want to be accountable for that. So I can respect that. He goes like, you know, I know, Greta, we could take this so far. And I go like, oh. Conversely, I have another gentleman who he's been in golf for about 2 months now. Early on, he was saying, hey, look, this is a bit more of an integral part of my business and my career than I ever realized. I didn't listen to my dad, but now's the time I got to get this. I really got to get cooking on this thing. No problem. We have our weekly lesson. I give him homework. We're talking. We communicate. He goes, here's the deal. I know how I am. That's why I go to see a trainer every morning, because if I don't have a trainer, I'm not going to do the work. Guess what?
Yep.
I see him 4 days a week. He's like, wow. This is what I want. Okay, because what we know, we're quantifying things, but we can't do that if we haven't quantified.
Right, right, exactly. That's great. That's fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah, exactly. Cindy, any final thoughts or questions that you have?
No, I thank you for everything you do for the LPGA. You're amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
Wow.
Best way,
that's
Greta,
awesome.
that they can reach out to you, for those listening to the show that maybe in your area that would like to reach out and contact you, what's the best way that they can go and find out more information?
Sure. If you want to contact me, you can go to my website. It's drgretagolf.com. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at drgretagolf, and, of course, on YouTube, where we provide insights, instruction, and guidance to help you level up your golf game. Same hand.
I love
at
it.
Dr. Greta Golf.
I love it. Thank you very much, Dr. Greta, for joining us this morning on the Women of Golf. And please come back again sometime. We would love to have you and continue the conversation.
Thank
but thank you for sharing some.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so
thank you for sharing
for
time
me.
This morning with our audience.
Thank you, Cindy and Ted. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. You have a great day and keep doing the great work that you're doing with the LPGA.
Thank you. Take care.
Yep.
All right. Bye-bye. Very interesting approach to the game. I like that. You know, she really, I think, emphasizes a sense of community. And I like what she said, too, you know, how she wants to bring people not just to learn the game, but it's a social thing as well, as getting people that can work together and help one another And again, that sense of community. And I think that's so important. I think sometimes we look at golf because it is an individual sport, that's something, you know, we've got to do on our own and that, but really that's not the case, especially if you're new to the game. I think there's a lot of opportunities to work together. I mean, obviously you work with a great instructor like Dr. Greta, but at the same time, you can come out and practice with, you know, some of the other folks that are coming out to the golf course as well. If you're a little bit, you know, gun shy about coming out, it's a great opportunity to make some friends and hopefully some lifelong friends as well. And you have obviously something in common to talk about and work together on. So I think it's very great. I love hearing stories like that. All right, Cindy, you're off to boot camp next week.
Yep. I am.
Is this a junior or an adult boot camp?
This is a junior.
Oh, this is going to be fun. I look forward to hearing about it then next week. All right, we want to thank everybody again, once again, our special guest, Sophie Hausman, winner of the Iowa Championship. Congratulations again. And then also to Dr. Greta Anderson, LBJ Golf Professional. Thank you, ladies, for both being our special guests this morning. We will see you next week here on the Women of Golf. God bless everybody and have a great week. Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed listening to this week's Women of Golf show. Ted and Cindy wish to thank this week's special guests. Remember to join them every Tuesday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on the iGolf Sports Network or on any of these social media platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, TalkStream Live, and of course Spotify. To get updates on the show, you can follow the Women of Golf Facebook page at www.facebook.com/womenofgolf. This has been a production of the iGolf Sports Network.